Hey everyone, welcome to Founders 365 with me, Stephen Haggerty. Today I'm joined by the founder of Runaway Collective, Mr. Rory Knighton. Have I missed? I messed that surname up, haven't I? Who cares? Rory, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm very good. We'll do it on a first name basis anyway.
We'll do it. Yeah, I don't normally, you know, sometimes I say, please do call me Mr. Haggerty. But yeah. for you, you know, you're a nice guy. I'll let you just call me Stephen.
Thanks. I feel like I'm at school. Knighton, get off the grass. Get back.
But one thing I do have to ask for people that are watching listening to this, this isn't going to mean anything to you, but people to watch this, is your microphone photoshopped onto your screen?
No, don't be ridiculous.
Honestly, when you watch this back, you will look at that and you'll say, that looks like a photo.
Yeah, the field is close. So I show you, it's the microphone.
It's a real microphone. And how ironic the fact that when I asked that, you completely lagged out as well. So this is a great start. This is a fantastic start. But it's all good. Rory, listen. Originally, I obviously had a plan of speaking about your business. But in our little debrief, I hope you're still there. Can you still hear me?
Yeah,
you can still hear me. Yeah. Cool. In our little debrief, pre-live chat, as I like to call it, you know, things have changed. Your mission has changed, your purpose has changed, all that jazz. So let's just jump straight into this and get an overview of who Rory is. Now I feel like we're moving to like a self-help podcast. Who's the real Rory?
Please.
Who are you? Get the tissues ready. Sit down, everyone. This is going to be a bumpy ride. Who is the real Rory?
Well, I think the real Rory is how I would like to think of it. Who knows if this is right or not, but it is constantly evolving and constantly changing. And I think that can only be a good thing that you're constantly evolving, updating your ideas and opinions and viewpoints and reassessing who you are. The last couple of years, I've really felt that effect. Spending a year in Amsterdam and partaking in everything, well, not everything, but most things that it has to offer. It really is a mind-expanding experience. Coming back to the UK, it really does give you a new perspective and a new framework to sort of play with. So I started out a long time ago now, about 8 years ago on my own, starting a creative agency because I was sick of all these big agencies charging huge amounts of money for jobs that I knew took a couple of minutes some of the time. They were just being silly and it was money for old rope. So I wanted to make a difference. And I feel I did make a difference at the beginning, but I sort of lost my passion along the way doing it and became sort of disillusioned with what I was doing. Certainly coming back from Amsterdam and coming back to the UK and then lockdown hitting, I think like many people, I was reevaluating, you know, what am I doing? What's the purpose?
Yeah, what does life mean?
What does life mean? You know, is there more to life than, you know, websites and branding and design?
Spoiler alert, no.
And then you're like, well, yeah, actually there really is. So I've been trying to sort of find my way again. It's been an interesting journey. It's been a fun and interesting journey.
You know what? It's so interesting, this topic, because I feel like before COVID, before 2020 full stop, really, let's face it, that whole rediscovering yourself when you're doing good, so many people fear, you know, so many people fear of losing what they've got or trying something new or just even stepping out of that little, I guess we can call it comfort zone, but stepping out of that comfort zone that they've created. So, you know, in your example, obviously things were going good, right? The business was good. You set up this agency and offering these services to clients because of what you were seeing in the marketplace. How was it when you first started having those thoughts of actually, what do I want? What do I want out of life, out of business? Because I feel like we always talk about how society has like these pre-set out ways for not less in quote unquote normal people, because you know, people like us probably aren't that normal, but normal people, you know, you go to school, go get your GCSEs, get your A-levels, go to university, get a good job, retire. But actually, when you're entrepreneurs or when you're building businesses and creating businesses, it's not too dissimilar in terms of that external pressure to see things through, to focus on one thing, to stay in your lane, per se. How was it for you when you first started to go, actually, I'm not sure I want to do this?
Well, it's a funny one, because I think we've all certainly got that monkey brain in there that's like, you know, why are you going to ruin a good thing? Just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you play devil's advocate with yourself and start second guessing yourself. And then you go, well, what's your backup plan? You know, if we don't want to do this anymore. And it's a little bit scary. You know, when you create something, the weird thing is it was scarier sort of in the last couple of years than it was at the beginning. At the start, it was all confidence and like, this is great. You know, this is exciting.
Because it was new as well. It was new. Stepping out was the new bit.
Shiny and new and fun and different and so many new things. And then when you've done it for a while and you get bored of it, you feel like, well, I can't be bored of it because it's my thing. I made this.
Yeah.
I can't be bored of my own thing. And then you can't really get away from yourself. And it's just a very strange feeling to second guess yourself and wonder what to do next. Where do I go from here? And that can feel a little bit scary, a little bit intimidating, a little bit frightening. So I really did have to do some soul searching and have a good word with myself and just say, I've been here before and we can do it again. And I shouldn't be frightened of it. But when you do listen to other people, and that's something that I've really realized recently, is you shouldn't really listen to what other people say.
Yeah,
but you know, especially if you've got negative people in your life saying, yeah, you don't want to mess up a good thing, what are you doing, you're crazy, why would you, if business is going well. And that's sort of the funny thing that people think, if business is going well or you're making money or you're successful, that everything's great. And that is just so not the case. And I don't want to sound like I'm ungrateful or arrogant or anything like that, but it really is a strange dichotomy that sort of seems to happen. It's sort of like an oxymoron that you're unhappy when you're more successful and you seem to be doing well, because you're looking for where the problem's going to come from. You're looking where the difficulties are going to come from and what you do next. And you start worrying about things that you didn't used to worry about. And especially when you start to grow a team and you start to hire people, that gets really scary. Yeah. And if you don't have any sort of good mentorship or any good people around you, it can feel really, really lonely. And not knowing what to do. And that's something that I've really struggled with and found really hard, is to find other people that are in similar positions to me and how they deal with it, what they do, what their tips and tricks are and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a funny one. It's very strange.
It is strange. And why do you think that is, though? Why do you think there is that assumption of, like you just said, when business is going well, everything else is going well? And I feel like a lot of business owners play up to that assumption as well, let's face it.
I think it's just a common misconception that, well, you must be fine. You must be doing well if business is going well. And that, as if everything else in your life is going well. You know, it could be the reverse. Everything in your life is going terribly, but business is going great, or vice versa. And people seem to think that it's some constant thing. It's the same thing when people say, oh, well, you're privileged, or you've got that, as if privilege is some sort of constant thing that never changes. You can have times in your life where you're really privileged, and then times in your life where you are the complete polar opposite of that and disadvantaged and not in a great situation. And that's the very much the same thing with business, is it's this roller coaster ride that goes up and down. Even when you're successful, there are sort of scales of success. You know, you can have small tiny wins and then big huge wins and then massive dips. And very much with an agency, you do go through these sort of feast and famine periods, and it's pretty stressful. And when you learn that most people think they could run a business, I think something ridiculous, like 80% of people think they could start their own business and run it tomorrow.
You just say two words. Good luck.
but when you learn that, you know, 4 out of 5 businesses fail in the first 12 months, you're like, yeah, it's actually really tricky and it's really stressful. And actually having a job, it is a lot easier because you know what you're doing each day. And of course there are difficulties with jobs and stress and all that kind of thing, but there's the predictability there, which is quite comforting.
And it's the classic stability as well.
The stability. Yeah. You know, when you've got that paycheck coming in every month, that really is a comfort to you. I mean, many people haven't, due to what's happening on at the minute, but it's so many businesses I really now feel for since the whole crisis hit. They've just been blown out of the water, and I was terrified that was going to happen to me, and the reverse happened to me, because we're an online business. We just got inundated with work, and I'm so grateful for that and appreciative of that. But what a strange feeling. What a strange, strange really feeling.
True. It's interesting you bring up the job side, because a really good friend of mine who had been working for himself for, I think, 5-6 years, and he recently got a job. Well, I say recently, I think it was about probably 2 years ago now, because time flies. But
that
is the one thing that he said the moment he got the job, and that first month afterwards, the weight off his shoulders, because he like you said, he knew exactly what was coming in at the end of the month. It became predictable. Yeah. And he knew that actually at 6 o'clock at night or whenever he finishes, he can go home and spend time with his now fiance and be in the moment. Whereas before, when he was running his own business, he wasn't doing that. He was working in the evenings. He was working on weekends. There's that famous, saying that, you know, entrepreneurs are the only people that will say no to a 40-hour work week, say yes to a 100-hour work week.
Yeah.
And I think that's spot on. And that doesn't mean that we're sat at our desk 100 hours a week. It's all how we think. It's all about, you know, when we are sat watching the TV with our loved ones, there's probably something in our back of our mind not switching off. And actually, if you couple that with that disalignment of what you're doing or that disalignment of passion, that little thought at the back of your head consumes so much energy and just knackers you. And like you said, you do become bored of what you do. I've been in that situation. I had a recruitment company, had the office, everything like that in central London. And I got bored of going into my own office.
Yeah.
I would get on the train and I'd be like, why am I doing this? Why am I paying for this office? Going into this office, and then when I'm in the office, I'm just like, Jesus, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And yet we still do it to ourselves over and over. It's funny. But where are you at now then? Where are you at in your life now? What has 2020 allowed you to do that perhaps you didn't know you were going to do beforehand?
I think it's been a continued sort of experience of self-reflection. So as I said, when I was in Amsterdam all of 2019, I did a year in Amsterdam, and that started me off on my reflection or self-reflection journey. What do I want? What am I doing? Because we're here for a really small amount of time.
Mm.
And you don't know when your number's up. When your number's up, your number's up. And I'm of the opinion and the viewpoint that you only get one go. That, you know, there's no reset button. There's no start again. There's no checkpoints. It's just one straight run through. So I've been on that journey trying to reevaluate what it is I want to do. And I think I can find joy in what I'm doing right now. And there are some elements still there that give me that sparks of joy. And I'm trying to hold on to those whilst I continue down the road of self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And I think I've let go of that fear and worry of trying new things. Because when I started a drinks company 3 years ago, which was a big undertaking, which I was massively overconfident and totally arrogant and ignorant about. I'll do it, no problem. I'll do it along my side, my
the
day
classic,
job.
How hard can it be?
Yeah, how hard can it be? I do the marketing for these companies day in, day out. I know marketing, but what I hadn't taken into account was the 90% of the other side of the business mm-hmm. that I had no idea about. So the logistics and the planning and the costing and the manufacturing. You know, it's a funny time when you're chatting to the manufacturer and they say, you know, how many bottles of this drink do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. And they say, well, the minimum order is 20,000 bottles. And you're like, all right, let's do 20,000 bottles without even thinking about the number or anything. And then when a big truck turns up with 20,000 bottles, you're like, oh no, that's quite a lot of bottles.
You're like, that's not going to fit in the shed.
Yeah. Ooh, right. I better get my skates on. So, you know, a huge learning experience. And that kind of put me off a lot of sort of doing my own thing. And I got a little bit, my pride was hurt there big time. And I went back to my business that was working and running fine. And I thought, oh, I'll just stick to this. But I've come back and sort of got over that fear now, that worry. And I'm ready to try something again, trying not to be like the, ooh, shiny new object. And, yeah, you know, yeah. Looking at things all
go
the time.
Like the whole other extreme of that.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm so much more measured and so much more reserved in starting a new business and looking at new things and doing so much more research. So really, even though it was pretty much a disaster and a failing, the drinks business, it taught me so much. As I like to say, it was the equivalent of doing sort of a degree in how not to run a business, because it taught me every lesson that you could possibly learn. And it taught me that I can't do things on my own, that I can't put every single hat on, and I need to delegate more. And that for me was a priceless lesson to learn.
And has that been a struggle to actually implement?
No, since I had the drinks business, I've sort of flipped everything now, and I'm brilliant at delegating.
Too much is now delegated.
Yeah, there's too many things delegated. Everything is so disparate now. No, but I am much, much better at delegating tasks rather than, because when you know you can do a task and you can do it quickly and sometimes better, you just go, well, I'll do it then. But that's just not the way to do things. You've got to think, well, where is my time best served? And that's been a big, big, hard lesson for me to learn, you know, because many times I'll have to slap myself in the face if I'm sitting at my computer and I'm doing some sort of design work. And I'll have spent 4 hours on a project that just doesn't warrant that time or energy, but I want it to be perfect.
Mm.
So that's really silly. So I've got timers on my computer now that ping when I've spent too long on something, and I just go, all right, I'll pass it on. And that's been a hard lesson to learn, a difficult pill to swallow, but it's one that I believe now.
So many people struggle with that though. So many people struggle with delegation, you know, the art of perfection and not wanting to hire someone because you think you can do it all yourself is again all. I'm really curious to know, because you're obviously someone who is very self-aware, very sort of looking at all the angles, I feel. But who then inspires you? Who do you now look up to and think, you know what, that could work for me. That could be a life that I want to live.
Well, I don't know if it's more of a I look at lots of different people and I try and bring some sort of coalescence to it and bring everything together and say, well, I want a little bit of that guy and I like what she does and I think that's cool. And how do I bring all that together and create, you know, the perfect thing for me? And, you know, it's very easy to sort of get motivation inspired from certain people, but it's then, well, how do you action that motivation?
Well, exactly. Because motivation is in the moment, isn't it? It's
absolutely.
It's a short term emotion.
Yeah. You've got to harness it. And motivation comes and goes. And that's another lesson I had to learn is some days you just will not feel like being creative or doing something really cognitively demanding. Some days are just duvet days where you're just going to sit in your bed and be under yourself. And that's okay. Yeah. Like, and not feeling guilty and horrible about it. You know, like, because even when you run your own business, people think, oh, you can just do what you want. Yeah. But it almost feels 10 times worse when you slack off work or when you don't do something, because you think, well, the buck stops with me. I'm the only person responsible for this. And if I don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
So it can feel really, really hard just to say, okay, I'm going to take a couple hours today and do my own thing. And especially when you've got, you know, a new baby in your life and you've got, you know, multiple businesses going on and you've got your own personal life and there's a world crisis going on, it can really, really be tough to stay focused and motivated. So that's something that I really find challenging, but I try and practice every day mindfulness and meditation and positivity, because if you get up thinking I'm gonna kick this day's ass, you're gonna give it your best shot. But if you wake up thinking, oh God, I don't want today to happen, I'm dreading today, you start off on that negative foot, that negative mindset. So I try and quash all those negative thoughts and feelings, which we all have, and it's okay to have them as long as you just let them pass on by and don't sort of consume you.
And that's the key, really, isn't it? It's that it's okay to have them. It's okay to have your duvet days. It's okay to not be on your ball. I feel like there's a lot of pressure, especially when people get into mindfulness, get into meditation, get into some sort of morning routine or routine in general. The first time that it slips up, and we know that it will slip up, and it slips up multiple times as well. But the first time and maybe the couple of times after that, There's for me as well, there was that overwhelming amount of guilt, like you said, the oh my God, I've not done my morning routine today, which means I have to start all over again. It's not going to work now. It's not going to do what I want it to do.
Yeah, I think that's a really common thing, especially when you see so many silly posts on things like LinkedIn where people are like, you know, founders are getting up at 3 a.m. Yeah. doing a 70-mile run. Yeah, you know,
I've yet to meet a founder. I've done 200 of these interviews this year. I've yet to meet a founder that actually enjoys getting up at that time and going for a run.
You know, I hate it, but it's got to be done. It just has to be done. I mean, I don't get up at that. I mean, I do for my kid screaming. It's not for work. But you put your kid on
that little backpack kid thing and go for a 3 a.m. run.
Exactly. No, I you know, I find it really, really tough. And if anything, I find those posts that I see, you know, really obnoxious and quite rude because everybody's got their own way of doing things.
Massive,
you know?
They're massive assumptions.
Yeah, huge assumptions that everybody's the same and all founders must share the same common values and they must all be the same core person. It's just not true. You know, everybody's on their own journey and everybody's going to find their own way to get there. Some people will run up the hill. Some people will go around the corner. Some people will take a shortcut. Some people will have a paddle. We've all got our own way of getting to that destination and there's nothing wrong with it and there's no right way to do it.
Yeah. But do you think that people have to go through those sort of motions of following those memes that you see on LinkedIn to then figure out that they don't work and then figure out their own stuff.
Yeah, the hilarious thing is, you know, I was told by so many people what to do and what not to do, and some of those pieces of advice were correct, some were incorrect, but you don't know any of them and you don't appreciate any of them until you do it yourself. You can have the best advice in the world that really is real and works, but you still need to have those failings to learn from the mistake. To know that pot is really hot and it's going to burn your hand, you kind of need to touch it. You
still need to touch it.
You got to put your finger in there, you know, and I see it with my kids all the time when I say, you know, don't do that, guys. And their immediate reaction is to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only a good thing, because then they can learn. It becomes much more visceral that you learn from that experience than you would just somebody telling you, oh, it's probably not a good idea. So I think you have to learn from your own failings and mistakes. Exactly.
And we all have our own realities. I was watching the Hollywood roundtable discussion, I think it's called, with a bunch of actors, and this one had a bunch of comedians, and Ricky Gervais was one who I'm a big fan of, and he says that so many people don't get comedy because most comedians think that they have to make everyone laugh in the room, and he's like, if I make myself laugh, I know someone else is going to laugh, because everyone has their own reality, and I'm okay when people don't get the joke. This is kind of what you're saying, you know, you're now okay with the fact that you're allowing yourself to discover what you actually want in life. And kudos to you, because so many people aren't, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but aren't brave enough or just aren't aware enough to figure that out. But when they do, their whole life seems to change, which is
incredible. It wasn't easy. You know, it was a tough lesson to learn. And, you know, I'm a very... a confident person, and when you've got the wind knocked out of you, when you lose your confidence, when you normally, well, I'm normally like this, and then you're not, and you go, oh right, well, oh, that was interesting. What was that? That was weird, but that's good. But it's really tough. And there's this thing called doxactic voluntarism, which is essentially that you can't change your belief or perspective or something in an instant. It takes time. It's a slow build. It's
neuroplasticity.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you've heard of it, right?
I'm all about neuroplasticity.
Love it.
That's my thing with the nootropic stacks. I'm really into nootropics and how can I elevate my brain? But then again, you can also get carried away with that kind of stuff, and you can focus too much time on it. And really, the basics still matter, and the basics are so important. You know, getting good quality sleep is tough when you've got a 6-month-old kid, but it's
whilst
it's important.
Twitching like that.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Absolutely.
But for you, you know, that side of the life, that side of nootropics and neuroplasticity and figuring out your own path and figuring out that, how important is it to you now that you're doing it? Not when you were starting it, when you were sort of figuring it out, but now it's part of your life and part of your everyday.
It's everything to me. It's the most important thing. When you become self-aware, and you know, you realize, do you know what? I can be a bit of a prat sometimes. I can say really stupid things, and I need to be more aware of myself. And you can almost get addicted to that, where you sort of become highly aware of your own behavior. We do thousands of actions every day that we're not even conscious of. You know, these little subtle things. Some people bite the nails, or whatever, and you become numb to those things. Yeah. And so I'm almost a little bit addicted to that, because I don't want to lose
I completely get it.
A gift, you know, when you're aware of yourself, that awareness. Of course, you know, taking mind expanding drugs in Amsterdam helped with me it helps you get there, but once you've had that experience, you never want to lose that experience of just, you know, the awareness of yourself.
But you're spot on with the fact that you can go too far. So you know, I'm an NLP trainer, so I've done like NLP practitioner, NLP master practitioner, and bunch of coaching training. And one of the things that I observed when I was doing it, that there was a few people on the course that went to the extreme.
Yeah.
That you would end up having a conversation with them in the pub afterwards, and everything you're saying, they're trying to make a meaning to.
So,
for example, you just said, I can't remember the exact words, but you said, oh, I need to do this.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, well, why do you need to do it? Like, who need to do it for what reason? You know.
Yeah.
But I have strength to not question everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's so interesting that you kind of have to go to that extreme to figure out, oh, actually, maybe I am being a bit of a douche.
Yeah.
And, you know, this way of life can't really fit in, or perhaps won't fit into my way of life. So I need to find my medium. I need to find my balance, coming back to that whole discovering your own journey. And once you've found that balance, I think that's when you can then have real fun with it. That's when you can have like experiment with it, test it, and you know exactly where your internal boundaries are with any sort of new learning or new adventure.
Definitely. I think you've got to push yourself to the limits, to the extreme, to then know where to dial it back down to. And you can continually push yourself to the limits and continuously see where those sort of stress points are, those end points, and then go, all right, that was a little bit too far. Let's rein it in a little bit. Because for a time I was addicted to habits. So how to create new habits, how to dissolve bad habits.
Yeah.
And you can get carried away with that kind of stuff. And you forget about the basics.
The habit of creating habits.
Exactly. And you can just sound like such an arrogant, pompous prat when you go around, well, I know all about habits and this is how you create habits. And it's
next
great.
Thing you know, you're doing a TED talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you oh no, what's happened to me? So it's great. It's great to know to rein it in. And like everything in life with balance, you know, I try and seek the balance in things, the equilibrium, the nuance. Because I think too much right now, especially with social media and things like that, we just seem to view the world in a black and white way. There's no sort of nuance in anything. There's no subtlety anywhere. There's no distinct parts that we can pick out. Everything becomes you're either for us or against us. You're either left or you're right. You can't be in the middle. Yeah. It's black or it's white. And so I try and hold on to that balance as much as I can, and try and drive as much meaning as I can from the balance.
Exactly. So what's next for you? You know, 2019 sounds like the year of huge changes and shifts. And like
I was awakened.
Perhaps there were some ulterior external factors involved in you consuming. But other than that, and now obviously 2020, which is a bit of a shit show anyway.
Yeah.
What is next for you? Where are you at right now in terms of your plan, your next ambitious thing that you want to go and do?
Well, the funny thing is, I don't know. And I like that. This is the first time in maybe 7 or 8 years where I haven't had a 2-year plan or a 5-year plan, or this is what's happening and this is the milestone and we need to get here. I don't know. And I'm enjoying that fact. I like the sort of course, I've got some idea of where I think I'll be and what I want to do and what my goals are, but the exact road of how I get there, I don't quite know yet. And I like
that. What about those around you then? Because if you've been this person for the last X amount of years that has been, I'm sure when they speak to you and they're like, hey, Roy, what are you up to? You probably gave the answer of, this is what I'm doing now and this is what I'm going to go and do. And when you see me next Christmas, this is probably what I'm be doing. Yeah. And now you're in the space of like, I don't know. I don't really know what I want to do.
Yeah.
How has the difference in reception and conversations been for you for that?
It's a real funny one. I used to care so much about what people thought and what, you know, when I said something. The whole thing with the drinks thing is a great example. Halfway through, before I even launched the drinks product, I thought, oh God, I don't want to fucking, what am I doing? I don't want to do this. I don't even care about this. What am I doing?
But I don't even drink.
How could I describe it? I felt the weight on my shoulders of what I needed to do. And I felt like I needed to do this to prove to everybody that I wasn't going to go back on my word. I was going to go ahead.
You were in the classic like entrepreneurial business owner, externally accountable position.
Yeah, I've got to do it. And the hilarious thing is when I did it all and I was like, ta-da, I realized nobody cared.
Yeah, no one cares.
And that made so much sense afterwards because I was like, well, of course they don't. They're not passionate about it. Hey, I'm barely even passionate about it myself. But of course, they're not passionate. And then I was like, I thought, you know, all my family would care and all my friends would care, but no, they don't. And do you know what?
You may get a pat on the back or a clap, but that's about it.
But that was one of the best lessons I ever learned. Don't do things for other people. Yeah. Do them for yourself. Do it for yourself. If it makes you happy doing it and you want to do it, go for it. But don't do things because you're worried what other people might think.
100%. I've figured that out myself recently.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this podcast, Founders 365, originally was 365 founders in 2020. And that goal was such a plucked out of thin air. I wanted to, it originally came because I want to challenge myself. I wanted to be consistent in 2020.
Yeah.
And I'd probably say 2 months ago, I went through that exact same moment where I thought, oh my, because like the numbers weren't quite adding up and, you know, life happens, people can't show up, I can't show up, whatever happens. So the numbers quickly sort of flow out of sync. And 2 months ago, I was thinking, okay, look at the numbers. And I went through that exact same moment where I thought, well, who am I doing this for? And I'm doing it for me. What am I getting out of it? I'm getting incredible enjoyment talking to people like you, talking to other founders, figuring out stories. That is what I love. This moment here is what I absolutely love doing throughout all day, every day. I would do this. And then I thought, well, the goal of 365 is realistically not going to be met. And then it's that whole conversation with, okay, you know what? It's okay, one, to change things, change goals, but also the fact that I kind of knew that if I hit 365 and probably killed myself in the doing of that as well, that on the 1st of January 2021, and I go, hey guys, I've done 365 interviews, I'll probably just get like a right in the background, probably from my mum, and no one else a week later would probably care. And it would then be me for the whole of 2021 thinking, right, I've done that. What do I now have to do with it? And now it's just morphed into a great conversation with founders.
Yeah.
Pretty consistently still. And the stories that are coming out since that shift as well. And the quality of, I say quality of people, in fact, I've always had good quality of people. But the quality of conversation, I think, has shifted as well.
Yeah.
And I think it is that the lack of pressure on the shoulders to hit these goals that don't really mean anything.
They don't really
do anything. It's kind of like when people go to the gym. It's like, hey, I want to work out. Cool, why?
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to work out?
Oh, because I look good.
Yeah, I want to look good. Why do you want to look good? Like, what's that about? Because everyone else wants it, or everyone else does it, or there's this pressure. Yeah.
It's somebody else's goals. I think that's a big problem, is when you go after someone else's goals without understanding why you want those goals, and are those goals right for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really, and I love the fact that you're now in this space, or this void in time of just being like, hey, what's happening next? I'm not really sure. I kind of got an idea. Yeah. I've got a grey print, let's say.
Well, let's not get too excited. We'll see where I am in 6 months' time, and I go, oh my god, I should have had a plan. What have I done?
Yeah, exactly. I'll speak to you again this time next year, and you'll be like, well, Stephen, I fucked up.
Yeah, that was a big mistake. See,
I did a big boo boo, and. Yeah. And now I'm not doing anything I'm enjoying, and I'm hating life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's table that one for now and see.
What yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
But
I
in the moment,
that won't be happening.
In the moment, it feels good right now.
Exactly.
Good right now. Yeah.
Listen, Rory. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I think
likewise.
It's been refreshing to hear the fact that actually, you know what, it's okay to change things. It's okay to do what you're doing. And I think a lot of people take value from that. So thank you for sharing. I normally ask, you know, how can people find you and all that kind of stuff? But I kind of want to leave you in this imaginary person in the middle of the woods, just being like, way. But no, how can people find you? How can people follow you? If you want them to. If you don't, you just be like, hey, I'm Rory. Peace out.
Yeah. I mean, if you really, really want to follow me, you can find me on YouTube. If you just type my name in on YouTube, Rory. Not just Rory, you need my full name. But
you're not that big yet.
Yeah, not that big.
When you get to the point where YouTube go, hey, do you want your own /Rory username?
Yeah.
You're like, I've made it.
I'm there now. But yeah, if you want to hear more of my ramblings and more of my nonsense, then yeah, I post very infrequently on YouTube, and you can catch some of those.
And he does have a neon sign, so he's legit.
Absolutely. That's well, I don't have the play button cushion. That's when you know you've really done it, when you've got the cushion.
Yeah. And the three plaques.
Yeah, exactly. The plaques. Yeah. We've got to get that. We'll get there.
No doubt. Rory, listen, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your wisdom and sharing. And no I really worries. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Thanks everyone else for listening and watching. This has been Founders 365.